welcome to a series of unfortunate sequels, where we explore the highs
and the lows
of cinema's most enduring franchises. My name is John.
And I'm Rebecca.
And today we're going to be talking about the lowest rated movie in the Expendables franchise so far, Expendables 3. This came out in 2014 and has a 6.1 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's only like a few points underneath the first one, I think, which is the highest rated. These are all, I guess, fairly consistent rating-wise.
Yeah, they're all pretty close.
And as someone who just saw the second and the third, they're pretty consistent content-wise, so.
Yeah, they are fairly unapologetic in what they are, and if you go to see them, that's probably what you're looking to get out of a movie, so.
Yeah, I'll even say about this one, I found it more interesting sometimes. And then more boring, no, equally boring in other times, I think. Yeah, it was another long ending fight in which I had my eyes closed for a lot of it. Because I'm really tired and I didn't feel like I was getting much.
What? But there was so much to get.
There was
so many notes from that fight.
There was so much where your notes, they're not utilizing Ronda Rousey enough and they're not utilizing Jet Li enough.
That is one of my notes. Well, let's hop into it. We'll get to the final fight eventually. This movie starts out with a train heist. It is a train heist slash prison break. We don't know who they're rescuing, just like in the beginning of the second movie.
Yeah,
it's some sort of rescue mission happening here.
I hoped it was going to be Ronda Rousey, just because she was the only person I knew was in it. It wasn't her.
It was not her. It actually turned out to be Wesley Snipes, who is now in this movie.
It was more exciting to see that it was Wesley Snipes.
It was pretty exciting. They rescued him from this jail prison type thing. We don't know exactly who he is or why they rescued him, but they're like, yeah, now come on, get in this helicopter and we're going to fly away from here. But he's not having it, so he takes control of the train and starts shooting bad guy strongholds, which is where the train is heading, and then just drives train into bad guy place, and bad guy place explode.
That was a really good description about what happened, honey.
Thank you.
It was more detailed than if I had done it, because I think if I had done it, I would have said, they saved Wesley Snipes and got away.
No, it was very important that Wesley Snipes blow up bad guy place.
That's true. He did blow up the bad guy place. It was great because they had a poster of the main bad guy on the wall of the, like, stone fort, which really looked out of place. Was it a painting?
It was very Edgar Wright. It was like a picture.
No, yeah. I was thinking that because they had a picture of him just glaring, and then they had him walk by with the same face on, kind of. It was like, just if the camera turned a little bit, it would have been the gag of someone standing next to a picture making the same face, which we were just talking about, Have Fuzz, and that bit is in that movie a couple times.
Yeah. IT Crowd.
Yeah. It's a very British bit, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But it just, like, they really kept emphasizing who this guy, and then that's it. Like, we don't know anything about him.
Yeah, they kind of made a surprisingly big deal about someone who's literally featured with the exclusive purpose of being blown up.
I mean, I guess he's leading the prison, and I imagine Wesley Snipes, as we learn very soon, has been trapped there for 8 years, is very salty. So I get it. But also, I don't get it, which I could say about this entire film.
New tagline.
I get it.
But also,
not really.
So, as you mentioned, we do find out that Wesley Snipes has been in this jail for about 8 years. He used to be an old team member. He used to be an old member of the Expendables. Some sort of mission went south, and he got captured, I guess.
Yeah, he's nobody else seems to know who he is except for Sylvester Stallone / Barney Ross. We find out his last name in this one.
We do find out his last name, and then we immediately tried to forget that we had learned his last name.
The thing is that somebody called him Ross, and I was like, is his name Ross Barney? Which, really horrible.
It's true. We could have looked on IMDb to figure out what the name is. We didn't,
no.
So we're still not sure if it's Ross Barney Barney Ross, or if his real name is Ross and he has a code name Barney, kind of like everyone else has their own stupid ass code name.
I think it's that. Everyone does have a code name.
That's what I was saying. He's like the cleaner, and maybe that's why they call him Barney.
I really need... Is it in the first Expendables? I don't want to watch it. Please, somebody just tell me if it's in the first Expendables why his nickname is Barney. Ross isn't a better name, though. It's just Ross Geller, and he's a big weenie.
Oh, he's a big weenie. Mm.
He's like either... He's named after a big weenie from Friends or a big purple dinosaur.
Both good, though. And he is kind of a dinosaur in this movie, so... Now, we find out that everyone who was on the Expendables when Wesley Snipes was on the Expendables is dead now, except for Wesley Snipes. Stallone has his team's dog tags kind of hanging in the plane that he drives, or flies.
Yeah.
Flies is the word that we use for that.
No, he drives it around. Could you imagine he just had a big-ass plane that he just drove on the roads just to be that extra?
That'd be great.
I mean, sounds like something he would do. They do have knives that are too big.
Oh, God, they're so big. Your knife has a full unsheathing sound every time you take it out, like a sword, like a... It's too long.
Just get a sword.
Really? Just get your own two-handed throwing weapon, like... Now, Stallone's new crew, curious about who this is, asks him why he was in jail the whole time. He says he was in jail for tax evasion. Funny Wesley Snipes joke.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, Wesley Snipes actually went to jail for tax evasion.
Holy shit, I forgot about that, actually. Wow, what a throwback.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
I don't know much about Wesley Snipes, except Blade.
Yeah.
He's Blade.
Went to jail for tax evasion and does capoeira. Most important Wesley Snipes facts. And Blade.
And Blade. Yeah, I know the Blade bit. Vampire.
And he uses blades in this movie. Maybe that's a callback, too. Who knows?
Also, he was in What We Do in the Shadows for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which was really funny.
That was pretty funny.
I will reference that show/movie anytime I can.
Now, he's also a knife specialist, which Christmas or... I'll just, you know, call him Statham for the rest of this, but it's important that we mention his code name for the upcoming joke.
We use the term joke super lightly here.
Yeah, it's generous. He's not too happy that there's another blade specialist, and he's like, I'm better. I'm the knife before Christmas.
Wait, does he say it? I thought Wesley Snipes said
it. Yeah, Wesley Snipes says it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, otherwise I would have done a real bad accent so that you'd know that I was speaking through Statham's on the North before Christmas.
I thought I was rescued the bad accent. You didn't have to therefore do it.
I did, so you'd recognize it next time.
Great.
So they can't bring him home yet. They rescued him because they need his help on a mission, I guess. They need to stop the shipment of... God, I should have written down the names of these bombs as they said them, because I knew as soon as the name passed on screen, I was going to forget it. The closest approximation I could come up with was Therabaric? Thermabaric? Thermarabaric?
Thermarabaric. Build-A-Bear.
Thrahanna-Barbaric.
Conan the Thermarabaric.
So they gotta stop bombs from being shipped.
Legit. Forgot about this scene entirely. And two, well, because it looked like every other scene in the movie. Didn't even realize that's what they were doing there.
Yeah. So, Terry Crews, we notice, hasn't been in the movie so far, but when they go
to the Thermarabaric dock,
where blah, 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 blah is, Terry Crews is there. He's got a big gun. They make a fun joke about how that gun will blow its wad in 10 seconds. They all thought it was hilarious enough to give each other high fives all around.
He's not exaggerating.
Literal high five.
Yeah, like Sylvester Stallone thought that joke was hilarious. Do you think he wrote it and he was like, I'm going to give people high fives?
He's the screenwriter. He literally wrote it.
By the way, it's a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Like, aren't they not meant to be fired for long periods of time?
Yeah, like, especially the ones you have to, like, hold up.
Yeah, you have to hold
it. Hot real quick, and they're got to be heavy.
I'm going to be honest. I only know anything about Gatling guns because of video games. And I know in video games, I don't get to keep it for very long.
Yeah, that'd be hacks otherwise.
Yeah.
You run out of ammo sooner or later because they go through a lot of it. They decide to do a stealthy infiltration of this place until they decide not to do a stealthy infiltration. They kind of jump back and forth between whether or not they're going to be stealthy or not at any given moment.
They're really, really stealthy, and then Wesley Snipes runs up and kicks down a door, and then they go through the door and are really, really stealthy again.
Yeah, and then they see that the bad guy here is Mel Gibson. Or as they call him in this movie, Stonebanks, I guess. But I'll be referring to him as Mel Gibson.
Obviously.
Now, they have a history with him. We don't know exactly what that history is yet. But they seem real upset to see him. And they swap between the stealthy and non-stealthy again. And just fucking kick down the door and start shooting. Unfortunately, they are bad at hitting the main bad guy. The bad guys are bad at hitting them, so there's a bunch of shooting. Nothing really happens.
Yeah, this is okay. So I get when you're making a movie, it must be really tough to have like a shootout where you're not killing your main characters, but it's so frustrating to watch people have perfect accuracy throughout an entire fight scene, and then the second it matters, they just can't hit anything.
It's a classic.
Oh my god, it's so annoying. Maybe this is partly why I hate action movies.
It's that Legolas moment.
How dare you smear the Legolas moment name? What?
When he fails to hit that one shot on the orc that's carrying the bomb that lets the entire army into that castle after movies of never missing a shot, he misses the one shot. That's the moment I'm talking about.
A lot of pressure was put on him in that moment. All the other times, they were just like orcs, you know, whatever. The whole fate of an army didn't, you know, rely on that one arrow.
See, these are high-stakes shots. Sometimes
it's Mel Gibson. How do you not hit Mel Gibson? Also, I feel like I've been tricked into watching a Mel Gibson movie because I don't fucking want to watch Mel Gibson movies. I didn't know he was in this shit.
You never know who's in them. Until you watch him.
It's true.
So, Mel Gibson gets away from this shootout.
Easily.
There's a...
Barely inconvenience.
Yeah. There's a car chase, and Mel Gibson flies out in a helicopter and shoots Terry Crews in the legs, and then, then decides to shoot him in the chest, too. And then, drops a fucking bomb on him. This was a... An unnecessary escalation. It seems he could have skipped several steps here and just dropped the bomb without being a dick about it, but all right.
What's really funny is they made a point that he aims at Sylvester Stallone first and then changes his mind and goes to, like, kill one of his crew members instead. And Sylvester Stallone even makes a point to be like, he shot Terry Crews instead of me to get back at me or whatever. But then why did he, like, they should have all died.
Right. Did he drop the bomb just like, oh, they'll be fine. I'm just going to do this for theatrics. Like, no, you probably dropped the bomb because he thought he was going to fucking kill them all.
Right?
Who knows? Anywho, they fly Terry to the hospital. Stallone leaves him his lucky ring, which, sure, I guess. It didn't seem that lucky for him when he just got shot in the chest. But sure, maybe it'll do better this time.
Well, he wasn't wearing the ring when he got shot in the chest.
That's true. Stallone was.
Yeah. So Terry Crews is now not in the rest of the movie because they have a different black guy in the movie. So I guess they had to be like, well, let's put Terry Crews in a coma the whole time.
Yeah, so you don't get to see him. This is a Wesley Snipes film now.
Couldn't they just have both?
No.
They can have one black guy, one woman. That's
one black guy, one woman in each movie.
Yeah.
That is it.
Literally.
And the woman must be referred to as a woman frequently throughout the movie.
Constantly.
You cannot
hit on...
forget that it is a woman. Now, Harrison Ford has taken over for Bruce Willis in this movie. He's pissed off that Barney, Stallone, blew the bust. He says he'll find Mel Gibson for him again, but they better not fuck it up this time. Meanwhile, Stallone has decided, oh no, this is dangerous. I guess this is just now dawning on him.
He had like 50 dog tags hanging on.
These people might die. So he decides he's going to disband the Expendables. He doesn't want these people dying on his watch. Very noble. So he's going to go there and he's going to do the mission all by himself. Nope, psych! He's going to gather up a whole new crew of people that he doesn't care about. So
who are all half the age of the other people, by the way.
Yes, he's going to bring in some young people to kill.
That's straight up what he's doing. He's like, I don't want my team to die. This is a suicide mission. I'll get a bunch of kids and throw them in there.
Fuck them. Meanwhile, we get periodic glimpses of just how rich Mel Gibson is in this movie. They could have cut these scenes out, but they didn't. So we see him just buying shit real expensive and like just being a general rich douchebag. And
yeah, he's got like a hot wife that he barely looks at. And he could have been kind of an interesting character. They really played him up to be like, I don't know, way cooler than he was, right? Is it just me?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I don't know, he's weird. He's weird.
Yeah, I can get down with, like, a weird, creepy, rich villain, you know? Love that shit. But, I don't, maybe it's because it was just Mel Gibson and I didn't want to look at him.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where you have the, like, creepy, rich villain, or, like, the mastermind villain. Sometimes you can combine the rich and the mastermind. Mm-hmm. Or, like, the meathead, I'm gonna box you type villain. Or, like, the I just buy a lot of hired guns villain. But they really tried to combine all four of those into Mel Gibson and didn't do any of them particularly well.
Yeah, they kind of, they do that throughout this movie and the last one, is they want to put too much stuff in it because they think it's cool, and then the cool stuff only gets about like 2% attention, and so it's no longer cool.
Yeah, that's accurate. So Stallone decides to meet with his contact, who's, I guess, his specialty dude for recruiting new team members, Kelsey Grammer. Did you think that you were going to make it through an Expendables movie without Kelsey Grammer? Well, you were wrong.
Such a weird character in this, too.
Yeah, so Frasier helps him find a whole new crew of people. First, he takes him to a thrill-seeking hacker. He's free climbing a mountain, but then falls, but has a parachute. And so that's cool. And he's also a hacker. So he's on the team.
You are going to go through this scene by scene, which is great. But I feel like what this montage felt like for me as a viewer was like, let's see what this actor has been in the next person they go to.
Yes, that is.
And when is it Ronda Rousey?
That is we were just waiting. We didn't have to wait long. She's next.
Yeah. I will also say, I don't think I would have been able to recognize Ronda Rousey before this movie, but I knew it was her because she was a woman in it. And there was
it was the first one we had seen.
Literally the first
other than
woman.
Hot wife.
Yeah, who doesn't have a line. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, so she's their brawl. She's a bouncer at a bar. She's their brawler type. So she gets recruited.
Yeah. She's still in a tight dress and heels as the bouncer, though.
Yes. You have to fight in heels. Otherwise, are you even really fighting?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it as a disguise, but then we get a fight scene of her in the tight dress and heels, and it was bad.
Yeah, I see, like, I have seen women walk home from bars that are, like, wearing heels, and they kick off the heels just to, like, walk. It seems super easy to just kind of kick off. It seems like maybe if you were gonna get in big bar fight, you'd be like, I'm gonna kick off my heels real quick and just fucking wreck these fools.
That would have been great. Cool as fuck if they just had her, like, take her heels off and put them on a table before beating some, like, dumb asshole guys. Or if, like, she just wasn't wearing heels and then they let her, like, let loose and be Ronda Rousey in her sexy dress. But instead we just get, like, this weird choppy fight scene because they couldn't choreograph it well, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
Yeah, this one wasn't a good one. We've seen other movies with Ronda Rousey as, like, brawler. I mean,
have we?
Yeah, she was in one of the,
By we, do you mean you?
No, we watched it on Iceland. It was one of the
I watched a movie with Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, it was one of those shitty,
Was it a XXX film?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. That sounds right.
But,
I like that we just told everyone that we went to Iceland and then sat in a hotel room and watched XXX movies.
I regret nothing. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen her fight, like, it's not like she can't, I mean, she's obviously a professional fighter. Yeah. It's not like she can't do fight choreo. Like, she's been in cool fights. This was not a good fight.
No, and she had a pretty cool one later. Like, yeah. She had some good fights later. Anyway, I'm sorry. I let that linger, but I was upset about it.
Next, we meet Parkour Boy, who parkours. And
is not a boy.
Is not a boy, as we find out. It is Antonio Banderas.
John and I realized that at the same time and went, oh, God. Literally, he jumps down and has his face half covered, but we both instantly recognize Antonio Banderas' yeah, beautiful eyes.
You can't hide Antonio Banderas' eyes. So he's old and washed up, and they're like, God damn it, this is the third time you've tricked me into coming here. This, you know, Kelsey Grammer's not happy. Apparently he keeps applying for these types of missions and keeps pretending to be younger than he is. So they pass on him.
It's a funny idea, and his character is really funny. I wish that we knew more about him somehow, but it was too confusing because, like, Sylvester Stallone is old as fuck. Why is he allowed to be here? Is he really only like, I'm only sacrificing 20-year-olds today. I'm sorry.
Really, it seemed to be.
Right? I did like the idea of Antonio Banderas, like, tricking him into, like, trying to recruit him over and over again, but not for his age. I wish there was a different reason for it. Because them leaving him behind because he's too old, quote, does not make any sense at all.
No, like, yeah. I'm sorry. Have you seen yourself, Stallone?
Yeah.
Have you?
And Antonio Banderas can fuck. Get it.
Yeah. So then we meet Gum Boy. This is a.
I thought you called him Gum Boy, like Gumby. It didn't make any sense.
No, we don't have a Gumby.
No, unfortunately.
Until Expendables 4. This is Victor Ortiz. His recruitment was the shortest thing ever. They brought him, and he was on like this military base, it seemed. And he was like, hey, check out this gun. You can program the bullets to explode wherever you want them. And then he shoots the gun a few times. And Stallone is like, God damn it, he's hired.
It's literally. And if you're wondering who this guy is, he's a boxer. John said his name like you should know. I didn't know. I had to look him up.
I didn't know who it was by his face. I did recognize his name. But yeah, that's. So he gets recruited because I wouldn't even say he's good with guns. He has a fancy gun.
Right. He has cool guns.
Which probably aren't his. He was on a military base. That they couldn't have belonged to him. He's just using someone else's cool guns. I don't know. He gets recruited anyway. And then we meet Brawl Boy. This is Emmett from
Brawl.
This is Emmett from Twilight.
John does not would never recognize Emmett from Twilight. By the way, I didn't either. To be fair, I was like, I think I know this guy from something, but he looks way different in this movie. Way hotter, by the way. And that's saying a lot, because I find vampires very sexy. He's not sexy in Twilight at all. He's, like, bald, no facial hair. Not cute. But he's pretty hot in this. But I can't get over the fact that fucking Emmett from Twilight is in the Expendables 3, everybody.
His introduction is him getting his ass kicked in a fight.
Emmett would never.
Stallone recognizes pretty quick, like, oh, yeah, he probably threw that fight for the cash payout. And he's bad at taking instructions, and he doesn't seem like he wants to be a part of the team. You're in.
Antonio Banderas, fuck you. You're too old. At what, 50? Ugh, gross. But this lion sack of shit.
So now he's got his new team of hotshot youngsters.
I kind of liked them. I liked them better than the old team. Especially when you take out... Well, I do love Wesley Snipes. I don't know.
I have, like, some people I liked from the new team and some from the old.
Ooh, we gotta, like, combine them.
Yeah, we gotta assemble our dream team at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so Harrison Ford's able to locate Stonebanks. Stallone's got 36 hours to bring him in. Then he's going off the grid again. How does he know he's going off the grid? Who knows? That's just what bad guys do. The old crew goes to meet the new crew as they're leaving for the mission, and they're jealous. Sparks fly. Mm-hmm. Also, knives fly.
And bad insults.
Bad insults. We find out, I'm skipping ahead. They're now flying to go get Mel Gibson. Who is it? Emmett from Twilight asks Stallone, hey, why are we even doing this? You haven't told us anything. So he just hands him the classified information about Mel Gibson's character. and we see an Expendables tattoo on Gibson's arm. Gibson was an Expendable. Yeah.
I loved this because this file is fat as hell. Like, it's a big file, kind of. And Emmett opens it. He's just Emmett. I don't know his name. I'm so sorry, actor. And he looks at a picture of Mel Gibson, and then he flips ahead a little bit and sees a picture of a bunch of dead bodies and is like, oh, dear God. Oh, there's four dead bodies. Is he responsible for this? They killed, like, 150 people in, like, 5 minutes, by the way. But anyway. And then he flips it again and sees the Expendables tattoo and is like, what? And then that's it. He doesn't look at any more of the files.
Yeah, he got all the information he needs.
It's like in a horror movie when they're flipping through, like, the old, like, newspaper articles. It's like, let's just get three pieces of information and we'll piece them together.
Now, this new crew is planning on how to, you know, infiltrate this next deal that Gibson's doing. Stallone gives his plan, which is just go in and shoot. And
bad
they're
plan.
Like, yeah, that'd be a good plan if it was 1985. They want to think of plans using their heads and technology like a bunch of nerds.
1985.
Stallone dinosaur, no like.
Is that what you literally wrote down?
Stallone dinosaur, no like.
That's his only note on this. I was really worried they were going to, like, have the kids come up with this, like, advanced plan and then have it be, like, a fail at the end and Sylvester Stallone was going to be like, see, you just burst down and shoot. Didn't happen that way,
yeah,
thankfully.
That was nice.
Yeah, I was really glad.
My notes aren't super specific in a lot of these sections, so yeah, my notes for this next section is they use brain meats to capture Gibson.
By the way, he has like half a page of notes left and we're like halfway through the film.
So they have this complicated plan where they're gonna, you know, they took control of the security, so they just kind of walk right in, and then at a certain point they're gonna shut the lights off, and then they all start shooting, and when, you know, they try to escape, he's gonna use his technology to lock all the doors except for the one that they want him in, and then they're gonna have Rousey just fucking capture him with a taser.
I know, right?
There's so many times in this movie where they're like, all right, they're gonna give Rousey something cool to do. Oh, never mind. She tases him, and that's it. That's that fight.
Yeah.
So now they've got Gibson. They have him in a van. They're taking him alive because he was specifically told they can't kill him. They need him alive. The Hague needs him alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very important. You need to know the name of the Hague.
Very important for later. Hague is, you know, I guess the agency that Stallone works for, but they need Gibson alive.
I want to say, before this whole fight breaks out, Mel Gibson's meeting with, like, his dealer or whatever. He's going to sell some shit. And, like, he hides weapons, I guess, in, like, fancy paintings because they won't be x-rayed at the airport. And he starts telling a story about, like, Cain and Abel. I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention. But then he talks about, like, leaving a tracking device in somebody. Blah, 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 blah. That's all I got. And then they're on the van, and I'm like, so he has a tracking device on him, right? Because they literally just said 3 minutes ago. But yeah, that's what happened.
That's good writing right there. Foreshadowing is what we call that.
He heard the word foreshadowing once. It was like, oh, I gotta put that in there. But I can't do it too far ahead. I'll forget.
How dare you? There are so many callbacks in this movie.
Yeah, they're all 5 minutes apart. Like, no joke. Like, I can't get over it. Every time they call back to something in the movie, it's something that just fucking happened.
We're not going to get through all the callbacks because we skipped one already, but...
Yeah.
So, for some reason, they decide to take Mel Gibson's tape off that was covering his mouth. So now Mel Gibson's talking all this shit and getting everyone mad at each other and talking like he can straight up go toe-to-toe with Sylvester fucking Stallone. Like, sorry, Gibson, you are an action star and all, but, like, come on. Come on, look at you.
Also, Emmett from Twilight.
Yeah. Anyway, as mentioned, he's got a tracking device on him. So he's being followed by a helicopter who shoots a rocket at the truck that they're driving in, apparently just really banking on the fact that that rocket was not going to kill Mel Gibson. It seemed like a risk, but they went for it.
I think their plan was to aim, like, behind the truck, I guess, and, like, knock it aside. It works.
Yeah, they knock it over. Stallone gets flung out of the truck, and then he's like, no, and then they shoot another rocket, which like blows him off the side of a bridge that they were driving over. They capture Stallone's new team, and Stallone gets washed down the river. But that's not good enough for Gibbs, and he needs a body. So he sends his crew out to collect Stallone, which obviously isn't going to work. Stallone wakes up, kills the crew, and fucks off. Now, Mel Gibson finds his dead crew and sends a message to... I don't know who sent it to. I guess he just sent it to his email address or some shit. Just Stallone@gmail.com. Like, hey, I've got here's a video of me. I captured your folks. You've got, how long did he give him? 48 hours to, before I kill your new crew.
What frustrated me to talk something serious is that they then, of course, had to, like, sexually harass Ronda Rousey. It's not, like, really... really bad or anything like that.
It's like, but just enough to just remind enough you
that she's a woman. And there's a couple of scenes where they're all kind of like, the whole team's like tied up and Mel Gibson's there taunting them with all of his men behind him. And just a couple of times when he approached Ronda Rousey where I was just like legit nervous that it was gonna get take a very dark turn in a way that I wouldn't expect from an Expendables movie. That's not what we signed up for. It was just wholly unnecessary. And, like, upsetting in a deep, deep way. I just didn't need it. She could have just been tied up like everybody else, and I wouldn't have thought it. But they had to make you think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stallone decides he's not going to pull in the old crew. That bridge is burned. He's going to take care of this himself.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for him, Antonio Banderas has found him and wants to join the crew. He's a chatty dude.
He is a delight, by the way.
They try to leave, the two of them. They're going to go on this rescue mission on their own, but his old crew shows up on the tarmac right before they fly off, and they stand in front of the plane, and they're like, they have a full-blown conversation with each other while the plane is on, and he's in the cockpit, and they just understand each other, because that's how plane noises do.
They're just, like, yelling over the sound of the plane in an enclosed space, I think they were. Or were they outside? They might have been outside. Regardless, it was really funny. They would not have been able to hear each other.
Yeah. But they join the mission. It doesn't take a whole lot of convincing. He's just like, hey. And they're like, hey, we're coming. He's like, all right, cool.
Hop in.
We also see Harrison Ford decides to go as kind of a backup evac unit, and he ropes in Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jet Li to help out.
Yeah.
This is the first we see Jet Li in this movie.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. He really doesn't get...
And that's another character who's going to be stuck behind fucking guns and get to do nothing all movie.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey at least does finally get a fight scene. Jet Li does not get a single fight scene.
No, very disappointing.
Oh my god.
Maybe he got injured. In my headcanon, maybe he got injured and they just wanted to have him anyway.
And John's
know.
Expendables headcanon.
Now the crew goes to rescue, old crew goes to rescue the new crew. It's an obvious trap, and they realize it's an obvious trap, but they're like, all right, well, I guess we got to do it anyway, though. So they go up there, they cut down the old crew, or they cut down the new crew, and a TV pops on, and Mel Gibson's like, oh, I've got the whole building wired with explosives. It would take anyone 90 seconds to escape. You have 45.
It's like they're trying to do Jigsaw or something.
Right?
But it's not good.
Wholly unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Hacker Man is there, so he's able to disarm the C4 while everyone in the old and new party stand around him yelling, come on! Come on, come on, come on, for the entire 45 seconds.
Do it, come on, hurry.
Hurry, come on, dude, come on. So he's able to disarm it. So Mel Gibson calls in the army of that area, who I guess is working for him because he sells weapons or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah. Tanks.
There's. They just wanted them to fight an army, so now they get to fight an army.
It's so long.
It is a very long fight. It's basically the rest of the movie. It's just this fight scene.
Yeah.
They do call in tanks, and that's the point where Harrison Ford shows up to take care of the tanks. Emmett from Twilight drives a motorbike out, and he takes out a few tanks, too, because that's how Emmett do.
Yeah.
Jet Li is stuck in the helicopter this whole time, firing a gun.
The whole time! No,
the whole time! The whole time! Ronda Rousey finally gets her fight. Antonio Banderas is, again, reminding us that Ronda Rousey's a lady through this whole scene. We get... This isn't even a callback. We get back-to-back get-to-the-chopper quotes. This happens with the same rapidity of the last movie's I'll be back jokes. Just, they make them and you're like, okay, that's funny. That's a chopper joke. And then they make it immediately again. So we get two of those back-to-back. And then we get a Stallone old movie joke where...
I would not pick up on that.
Oh, that was the Haig one. At least I assume that that's what that was. So there's a final showdown between Mel Gibson and Sylvester Stallone, where they again try to make us believe that Mel Gibson can take Sylvester Stallone in a fight, and they draw it out.
It's just another meat slap fight, like the last one we watched.
It is.
It was in water, even, so there was more slap sounds when they slapped their meat together. It was less sexual than the last one.
It was less sexual. They had to add it in water for the extra drama because they had someone who was not nearly as competent at fighting as they had in the other movie. Sorry, Mel Gibson, you are no Jean-Claude Van Damme. I bet you can't even do a split.
Oh, shit.
I called it.
Shots fired.
Speaking of which, that's how the fight ends. They decide they're not going to take them in alive. He shoots Mel Gibson, and Mel Gibson is like, but what about the Haig? And he's like, I am the Haig.
Yeah, I laughed out loud, literally.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure was a Judge Dredd reference.
Oh,
I am the law.
Oh.
He is Judge Dredd.
He is?
The original Judge Dredd.
Oh, okay.
I assume that that was a Judge Dredd reference just based on the movie. Because it was just enough of a stretch. So yeah, they kill Mel Gibson. They fly home. Everyone's fine. Terry Crews is fine when they get home. They go out to a bar. Old crew, new crew, they're all drinking together. They're all happy. The new crew gets officially inducted with their Expendables tattoos. And luckily for them, I guess they're part of the crew now. I guess now Sylvester Stallone doesn't care about any of them dying. They're all they're all in it together now.
All in this together. Throwing it back. High School Musical.
So that is the Expendables 3.
All right, Expendables Dream Team.
Expendables Dream Team.
Did you think about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I want Statham on my dream team.
Yes, I agree. So go with the old crew first. Statham.
All right. Statham.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah, we'll count him on the old crew since he's technically, like, the oldest.
Yeah. Terry Crews? He's not in this.
He's not in this one as much. You know,
but he was funny in the second
one.
Let's say
if we have to do it, like, captain-wise, so we can't have duplicates, like... You know, I'll give you Wesley Snipes. I'll take Statham. Since they're both Blade people, there's kind of overlap there.
Oh, wait, we can't have people on our team? The same people on our team? No, I don't like this approach. We're assembling our dream team.
Oh, like a collective team? I thought we were
each
assembling our own, and we were the captains in
dodgeball
style.
I don't want to end up with some weenie like Sylvester Stallone, whose name is Barney. I can't do it.
Okay. God, but I don't want Statham and Snipes. I don't want redundancies on my team.
I think they're different enough.
Okay, well...
Fine, okay. My dream team has Statham and Snipes and Terry Crews from the old team. They're the only three I want.
All right, I want Jet Li on my team.
Oh my god, Jet Li, I'm so sorry.
Too late, call him.
There's no calling. It's not the same. I legit forgot about him because he's never in the fucking movies. But yeah, I want Jet Li. All right, so I have four people from the old team. You have three.
Okay, and then new team... I want Hacker Boy, obviously.
Oh, Hacker Boy.
That's just...
I think he's one of the only ones I want.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey and Hacker Boy and Antonio Banderas.
God, who from the new team do I actually want?
Then there's Emmett, Gun Guy, and I think that was it, right?
Yeah. Gun Guy does have some cool guns.
Gun Guy does have guns.
Can he just give us his guns and then Terry Crews can use them?
No.
where anyone else can use them. Gun guy, why are you in this?
You could just take gun guy. He wasn't, like, bad.
That's true. He was fine.
Honestly, the whole new team was fine with me. I feel like I'm just cutting Sylvester Stallone and the guy who
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, and Dolph Lundgren. I think you mean Ralph Lundgren.
Rolf Lundgren.
Yeah, I don't care about him or the bald guy who had, like, four lines in each.
Jason Fakem,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't need them.
No, Sorry. We don't need them.
So that's my dream team. I would take them.
So how did you feel about this movie? Comparative, do you feel like it deserves to be the lowest rated? I don't think you remember the first one at all, even though you've seen it.
I guess I could see why this was lower rated than the last one, which isn't saying, like, a whole lot, but I think they deserve to be pretty close together. I could see how this one was, like, slightly lower, but they were just very, very similar.
Yeah.
Both in quality and content.
Yeah, I can't tell if they're just not movies for me, if they're just really not very good. But I found them to both be very boring.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not movies for you. This
No.
is a genre that, when executed like this, all very much not you.
It's not, no.
So what would you rate?
I would rate it
Expendables 3.
I would rate it a Wesley Snipes Blade. I would also rate it an Emmett from Twilight.
Now I need to clarify.
Okay.
Are you rating it one of Wesley Snipes' blades, or are you rating it Wesley Snipes from Blade?
I am leaving that open to interpretation.
Okay.
An Emmett from Twilight. A Ronda Rousey kind of one okay fight scene, but I am going to subtract just, like, an obscene amount of, like, sexual harassment thrown her way for absolutely no reason. I am going to, however, add about 10 times the camera lingered on her glaring for no reason.
Oh, it was very good.
It was really very, very funny, and probably the only part of the movie I, like, thoroughly enjoyed. And then I'm going to subtract 100 points for an action scene that took too long and was a waste of my time. And that's my rating for The Expendables 3.
Okay. I will rate Expendables 3 Double Knife Guys. That's always fun. I would add a surprise Kelsey Grammer. That's always a delight. I would subtract a surprise Mel Gibson. And I would also subtract, I guess I would just subtract giving all the cool brawlers guns.
Yeah.
That was one thing I liked about the second one, is, like, Jet Li has, like, he just fucking decks people.
Yeah, he had a fight scene, at least.
Yeah.
He was just stuck in a helicopter in this one shooting at people. Legit. Yeah.
So.
Although he did hug Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end, which was kind of
nice.
Cute.
It was pretty cute.
Yeah. I'll add that to my rating. Because I now ship them.
They ship them.
Oh, they kind of did, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess that's how I would rate it. Would you show Expendables 3 to a kid?
I feel like I need to explain the hug for a second.
All right, go for it.
Sylvester Stallone is like, oh, Jet Li, you're working for Arnold Schwarzenegger now, right? And they kind of mumble to each other, like making fun of Sylvester Stallone, who turns around and then tells him to get a room. And I was like, my stomach plummeted that they were going to get really homophobic here. But then they were like, looked at each other lovingly and went, we don't need a room. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger just put his arm around him and, like, Jet Li snuggled up into his muscly chest. And it was pure as fuck.
It was adorable.
Yeah. Anyway, they're in love, clearly, in the canon of this franchise.
Stay tuned for Rebecca's Expendables fan fiction.
I'm not going to write fan fiction. But if they're not married by the fourth one, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Beauty and the Lee.
Is that a thing? I hate you so much. Anyway, I would not show this to my child until they were older and they, for some reason, wanted to see it. But I would be really disappointed.
I would show it to them with all the judgment that I could muster.
Literally, yes.
Oh. Well, that is it for Expendables 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it is December, we're going to watch some Christmas movies.
Yes. So, I mean, should we say what we're going to do first?
I guess. Do we know
yeah,
the first one? Okay.
I think we decided.
Okay.
Yeah. So join us next week when we talk about the highest rated movie in the Christmas Prince franchise.
We have seen all of them. We're excited to rewatch.
We have unironically watched every single Christmas Prince movie. And I am very excited to talk about them beat by beat because they get buck wild.
So stay tuned for that. And until next time, watch the best.
And save the rest for us. That's all you had?
I
wow. You blew your load in 10 seconds.
Oh, God damn it.